Immigration has become one of the most talked about issues in this year's presidential race, but the experiences of people who come to the U.S. as immigrants and refugees aren't always part of the discussion. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Let's hear from a refugee and two immigrants about why their families came to the U.S., the struggles they've overcome to succeed here, and their hopes for the future. Their stories are part of a pair of exhibits called More Than Meets the Eye that are part of the 2024 Photo Focus Biennial. Joining me now are Downtown Middletown Incorporated Board Chair Mary Johnson. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. Kentucky Refugee Ministries Resettlement Director, Wilson Mejia. Thanks for being here, Wilson.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
And medical interpreter, Sandra Onyate. Welcome, Sandra.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
It's wonderful to have you all here. I want to start by talking about how each of you came to the U.S. Mary, you were born in the country that was formerly known as Yugoslavia. Why did your family leave?
Yes, so you're right. It was formerly called Yugoslavia. It is currently Croatia. And my family left for economic reasons. We were dirt poor, literally. We lived in a small house with a dirt floor, no electricity, no running water. And this was in 1966 when we left Croatia. And we actually didn't have enough food to eat. So, and we were a multi-generational family. And so my father decided that he wanted to move his family, which consisted of four daughters at the time, to someplace where we had a better chance at a better life.
Hmm. And Mary, I understand your family stayed in refugee camps before coming to the United States. What do you remember about that?
Yes, we fled across the border from what was then Yugoslavia into Italy. And Trieste, Italy is a border town, and we fled to there. And I remember my mother telling me that we were at a tavern and people took pity on us. We're waiting for the local refugee office to open and they brought us donuts, which is a big deal because, again, we didn't have a wide variety of foods available to us. But we were then taken to a refugee camp where they were accepting refugees from different countries, particularly communist countries like Yugoslavia.
And you were very little at the time, weren't you?
Yes, I was 4 years old when we left. My sister, Kate, was 10. And then I had a sister, Milka, who was 3, and a sister, Slavica, who was actually a baby. And when we fled across the border, my mom held her in her apron to get across the border.
Wow. Sandra, you and your family came to the U.S. to access medical care that you needed. Tell us about that.
Yes, that is correct. So I was diagnosed with congenital glaucoma shortly after my birth. I was born in Mexico. And so the medical technology in Mexico, we were told, was running about 10 years behind, and I was at risk of losing my vision in both eyes completely. So the recommendation was to search for better opportunities, specifically healthcare. And my parents were decently in a stable economic position to obtain a tourist visa that allowed us to obtain these healthcare opportunities that we were looking for.
And Sandra, how old were you when you were interpreting for your parents, essentially, at a doctor's office when they were trying to get you the help you needed here in the U.S.?
I was about 6-7 years old. So there was a mix of me interpreting for my own doctor's appointments and my older siblings who knew a little bit more English at the time, who also kind of helped throughout my whole process.
Hmm. And it wasn't always, you weren't always interpreting good news for your parents, I understand.
Absolutely not. It was a very strange position for a young child to deliver, you know, not great news about their own health to their parents. But, you know, I'm sure as a listener, a mother or father understands the tone of whatever the doctor is saying, regardless if they don't understand the language.
Mm. And Wilson, you and your family moved to the U.S. from the Dominican Republic. What prompted your move here?
Yes, we moved to the Bronx, and it was mostly to pursue a better education. My brother was about to start high school, and I was going to eighth grade, so my mother decided to make the move just to secure a better education opportunity for me and my family.
And Wilson, I don't want us to focus on the struggles and barriers too much in this discussion because we're going to talk about, hope and but I do think it's important to acknowledge them. What barriers did you and your family face?
It was tougher for me and my family of four. So it was my single mom, my little sister, and my brother. We moved into a room. We first started there, and me and my brother had to quickly, help my mom economically. So we started working in the local supermarket. I started packing bags when I was 13, for tips. So I'll be there all day in the summer. I just trying to support the family and to move into a bigger place. Losing everything that you know as a young person was tough, especially at 13, building your identity. I had to question, what does it mean to be Dominican? What does it mean to be Latino? What does it mean to be Black in the United States? So that was a struggle, but we persevered through those, and I'm here today. So.
Yeah. We're talking with people who moved to the U.S. as children about the homes they left behind and the lives they've built here. Do you have a personal experience you'd like to share? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. Mary, we heard a bit from Sandra about some of the challenges she faced with the medical condition that her parents were trying to get her help for, and how she was having to kind of explain some of this to her parents, even as a very little girl. What were some of the struggles that you and your family faced when you finally made it to the U.S., Mary?
Yes, I think some of the major struggles that we had is my parents didn't have educational opportunities. So my father never went to school. His own father didn't think it was worthwhile. My mother went to school up until fourth grade, and then World War II broke out and the school was bombed, and that was the end of her education. So I think that was such a priority for them for getting their daughters at the time a good life, is to make sure that we were enrolled in a school. Fortunately, we were just a block away from the Croatian Catholic school in Cleveland, Ohio, St. Paul's. So that was a big deal. Learning the language was a huge barrier. We actually learned by watching television. Gilligan's Island was a big one. And we always celebrated when we learned a new word. So the last word that I remember learning is dustpan. So we always called it a lopatca, even though we spoke Croatian, English otherwise. And then I saw a TV episode and someone said, "Bring the dustpan." I'm like, "Dustpan. Lopatca is dustpan." So it was the translating part too. As children, if you spoke English, no matter what your age, you had to translate for your parents. So my parents, again, because of their limited education, because the fact that they then had three more children, so there were a total of seven children, they never had the opportunity to learn English. So I think that was a huge barrier to them. And to be honest, as we talk about what they lost and what we lost, is that they couldn't really speak to their grandchildren. So, all of my siblings and myself, we have children. And I think that is my biggest regret. And I know that was, their biggest struggle, is that they still needed us to translate when they were speaking with their own grandchildren.
You are all part of this exhibition called More Than Meets the Eye. It's part of the Photo Focus Biennial and part of Blink. The focus is really on resilience, peace, and hope. Wilson, talk about what resilience, peace, and hope have meant to you. What roles have they played for you as an immigrant?
Yeah, for me, I think hope is the first word that I think of. Coming into a new country and not knowing what to expect, and just hoping for the best every day that we wake up, and every time we make a decision, it's for the hope of a better future. And resilient is, it's just what we have to be accustomed to the minute we step in the United States. If we are not resilient, we could easily lose ourselves in the systems that are oppressive in the United States, especially being, like I said again, being Black and Latino. So it's just not an option other than being resilient to be successful.
What about you, Sandra?
It's a loaded question. When I first started participating and helping out in this project, I often thought about it for my own story. I think hope is like we've mentioned before, it's the just seeing a brighter future. But resilience, I think, is what anchors us down to continue through all the struggles and challenges that we see as immigrants, that we see as people in our professional life, in our family life. It kind of reminds us as to why we came here and what is our purpose to continue here in the United States.
Mary, what about for you? Can you talk about the role that resilience, peace, and hope have played in your life?
Yes, I think, those are two excellent words. And the hope, for many immigrants is in their children, that their children can do better than they themselves did. And that was certainly the motivation for my parents. And, resilience, especially, with a large family, is for us to be able to navigate a whole new culture, right? Again, we came from a place where we didn't have electricity or running water, cars, anything like that. It was very rural. And to be able to function and thrive in a society. So all of my siblings and myself, whatever our roles were, we always worked hard and we exceeded at them because we followed the example of my parents, my mother and father, who always worked hard, who always made us a top priority. And I think we are all trying to do the same for our children, in turn.
Well, and Mary, you talk about, coming from these very humble beginnings with the dirt floor. Your parents didn't have a lot of education, but were there things about home that your parents missed, that you and your sisters missed?
I was so young, to be honest, I don't remember a whole lot. But what we missed are the family that we left behind. And so what we did is, at the time, you can sponsor someone, particularly from a close family member, to come to the United States. So my parents missed that very much, their homeland, their family, but we were able to bring many of our family members now. We just had a family reunion in Cleveland, and there were about 200 or so of us. And these are just mostly people who are based in Ohio. So that was very, again, we are very successful because of that. Their dreams came true, even though they personally, had to work hard, had to suffer, and be in a culture that they didn't understand people. My mother did go back. We all chipped in and bought her an airline ticket and gave her spending money and so on, so that she could go back. And what I think is interesting, and I'd love to hear from the other callers, is it's funny because they always talk about Croatia and going back to Croatia. And when they do, and my uncle said this too, when he went back, they realized that they are now city people. They have changed. And so I think there's a bit of a chasm between the people who stay behind and the people who left and then came back for a visit.
We'll continue our conversation after a short break. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation with people who came to the U.S. with their families as immigrants and refugees about the homes they've left behind and the lives they've built here. My guests are Downtown Middletown, Inc., Board Chair Mary Johnson, Kentucky Refugee Ministry's Resettlement Director Wilson Mejia, and Medical Interpreter Sandra Oñete. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Before we took a little break, Sandra, Mary was talking about sort of what her parents left behind. She was little bitty when she left her the country where she was born, but her parents certainly had memories. What do you remember? Were there things that you missed about Mexico before coming here to the U.S.?
Likewise, I was very young, but I know I left grandparents behind, so I'm one of the youngest of about 44 first cousins, who pretty much all met my grandparents and spent time with them. And so I know leaving behind family, such as grandparents, aunts, and uncles, was a big part of not having that family connection. And so I know my family, my mother specifically, suffered a lot leaving her parents behind because they were very sick at that time. And unfortunately, she was not able to go back to spend the last days with her father. So she did not get to say goodbye to him. And I know that's definitely one of the hardest things she's had to go through and leave behind.
Oh, yeah, such a sacrifice. Wilson, you were older when you left the Dominican Republic, certainly older than Mary and Sandra. What did you think about home a lot? Talk about that experience.
Yes, definitely. Being 13, like I said again, is when you start building your own identity. Start becoming yourself. So, losing those friendships that I had growing up in the Dominican Republic was tough. I also was starting to have my own dreams of what I wanted to be in the Dominican Republic, so that needed to shift as well. So it's a big loss. I'll always say that also losing that vibrancy of the culture that exists in your home country was tough as well. That first month here in the Bronx with the family was tough. I think we all grieved independently, those losses. So it's something that we still think about.
Well, all three of you now have you work in different ways to give back to people, to your communities. Wilson, you're working with Kentucky Refugee Ministries. Why is that work so important to you? And do you think your experience as an immigrant informs the work you do with families?
I think it's very important and dear to my heart. Being an immigrant, I can somewhat relay to some of the stories of our clients. I'm not a refugee, so but I know that refugees go through tougher time than I did, than me and my family did coming to the United States. So as a team, we'd make sure that we support the clients with holistic services. For up to a year or longer, to make sure that they are integrating successfully in Covington.
And Sandra, you're a medical interpreter, which is, a role that you served a little bit for your own parents as a child. Why is that work so important to you, and what does it mean to the families that you help?
Yeah, it's almost a full circle, honestly. It's like giving back what I was given, and having the ability to speak two languages, it has been such a gift. It's extremely important to me. I firmly believe that every patient, specifically those who don't speak English, whether it's Spanish or any other language, deserve equitable health care. And if we can get that health care in their native language, I think that is the optimal goal. And so to me, it is not only important, but it's going back to my roots and my why. I practically did all of my undergrad in science and continuing my education and my experience in a hospital. And being able to provide this service to families is not it, it's nothing short of fulfilling.
Mary, you're a volunteer in Middletown, where you live as chair of the board of Downtown Middletown Inc. Why is it important to you to give back in that way?
It's really important for me to give back because, we really did live the American dream. And I want to support my community, which has been hit very hard by COVID and also too by, some construction downtown. So, businesses are struggling. But, from a hope and resilience point of view, I'm a biologist, and I can tell you that diversity is so important. It makes a community stronger. And so Middletown, we have a lot more Latino-owned businesses opening up in downtown Middletown. So I'm very excited about that. It'll make us a stronger, more diverse community. And so I want to be there, for other immigrants and especially people who face the challenges that I don't. We talked about it. I'm white. I have green eyes, and I do not face the challenges that Wilson has faced, that people of color do. So I want to use my privilege to help people where I can, and to help them thrive and achieve their American dream.
We started out, this was not intended to be a political conversation, but the issue of immigration looms large this election year. If we have time, just briefly, Wilson, if there was one thing about your experience as an immigrant that you would like for U.S.-born voters to understand, what would it be?
There's a human behind each number that we hear about coming into the United States, and each human story has the capacity to impact the community in a positive way. So be kind, be gentle, but also support refugees and immigrants coming in.
What would you say, Sandra?
I think we've always known that this is the land of opportunity, and that is exactly what we come to do. We want to take an opportunity and be a part of the community and grow with everybody else. So again, you know, be gentle, be kind, like it was already said, but, you know, be mindful. There's a face to every single story that you hear out there.
What would you say, Mary?
I think I would say, you know, everything that Sandra Molson said too, but don't be afraid, right? Don't be afraid of different. Different is not bad. If you are patient and kind and you can see the different is actually good, it increases vitality, as I said, diversity, just makes things stronger, makes community stronger, makes them more interesting and exciting, you know, just even the food, right? The best foods are in the most diverse community. So, you know, there are bonuses. Don't just think about the negative.
Are these messages, Wilson, that you give to the families you help, with the refugee families you help?
Yes, I tell them to be patient as well. It's a long road ahead, but, you know, with support, they can get to be successful as well.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking with Downtown Middletown, Inc. Board Chair Mary Johnson, Kentucky Refugee Ministries Resettlement Director Wilson Mejia, and Medical Interpreter Sandra Onyete. Thank you all so much for your time today. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lucy.
Their stories are part of a pair of exhibits called More Than Meets the Eye. That's part of the 2024 Photo Focus Biennial and part of Blink. And they have pictures on the Purple People Bridge and QR codes where you can listen to their stories and learn more about them. You can find more information about all of this on our website on WVXU.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director today is Stephen Baum. Thank you, Stephen. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it.